Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. So it's good for us to be here, and like we always ask, there is a question that is so essential, and that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? That's a question to ask yourself. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So it's good for us to be here. We're thankful. We're grateful. Just another session of Truth on Blog Talk Radio. And thank God that we're here. On another day, God blessed us to see another day, and it's of the Lord's mercies. We are not consumed because His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. So we thank Him. He brought us out of sin and shame, out of darkness, into His marvelous light. So we thank God for all of our listeners, all of our Facebook friends, all of our Twitter followers, all of our LinkedIn connections, and our Blog Talk friends. We thank you, our followers and friends, for tuning in to Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. And we want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So that quote came out of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus. These people were already saved. They already had been to the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus, already received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, as the Spirit gives to utter. So that's what you have to do. You can't just go to the letters, Romans, and just confess Him. No, you got to go to the book of Acts. That is where salvation began. Pentecost means 50th. The 50th day after the Passover, Jesus was on earth for 40 days after He rose from the dead, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He told them not to do anything, but go back to Jerusalem and wait for the promise, saith He, ye have heard of Me. And He went on to let them know, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So They asked him a question that was very legitimate. Lord, would thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? He let them know it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me, and both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He said those things. He stepped on a cloud and was received out of their sight. Two angels, two men in white apparel, which were angels, said, ye men of Israel, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus, which is taken up, shall also come in like manner. So that is, when he does that, that's the second coming. The appearing is when he comes, he's going to appear and take the church away. We're going to be all changed. We're not going to all sleep. We shall all be changed. How's that? Paul said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trumpet shall sound, we shall be changed. Corruptible must put on incorruption, mortal must put on immortality. So, corruptible hath put on incorruption, and his mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So he goes on to say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So he went on to say, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we thank God for that quote out of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. So we have a hope. And, you know, he writes to the church at Rome. He says, for hope that is seen is not hope. What a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So we just finished our series, actually three-part series on fellowship. So I know we had a little gap in between there, about a month over the summer. But we did finish, so we thank God that we were able, and we talked about fellowship and what it was and the oneness and things that you got to do and continuing in the truth and John's commendation, where he commended the pastor, that woman pastor. And he commended the children of God to continue in the truth. And he said something that was very important. The truth which shall be with us forever. So everyone does not have the truth. The truth is in Jesus. Just like I made mention on week before last, when I made mention about someone on TV, whatever audience they're that is in front of them, they will speak to that audience. He's a deceiver, just to be accepted. I mean, either you believe God or you don't believe God. So that's why we're saying every spirit that confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is antichrist. So this is what John was saying. Many antichrists have gone out into the world. So he was saying, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The them that he is making reference to is antichrist. You can't give all praise to somebody else and you still believe Jesus too. No, the devil is a liar. No, no, no. See, too many times, and see, this is what Paul said when he wrote to the church at Philippi. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So you got to have the mind of Christ. In other words, Jesus had his mind made up to do what he came to do. He had his face set as a flint to go to Jerusalem. So the devil is a master of deception. He uses mind games. So you can't, and even there's deceivers among us and so-called teachers, the steady lion telling people, any of you, God going to do this because you praised him. That's a lie. I mean, this, I listen to this man talking like God speaking to him like that. No, no, he's not. That's coming out of his own heart. So people just say stuff, and they're not anointed, and people are trying to take the apostolic mantle or banner and run on with it. But you don't, you can't do that. You haven't been born again. You haven't been water baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. That is the oneness, the one God. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So you got to, like John said, and I read this, went over 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John during the lesson on fellowship. So he said, John made it plain, he that knoweth God heareth us. What us? The apostles is what he's talking about. And see, that's another thing, a hot subject. That is, so many people calling themselves apostles, and there are no apostles today. And I've given the scriptures time after time of there are what the job of an apostle was. Firstly, they were chosen by the Lord. They were sent forth is what it actually meant. They laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures. They were eyewitnesses. They were personally chose and taught by the Lord. And they died horrible deaths. So people don't want that part. So we just thank God that we could get into scriptures like Jesus says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they. Talking about the scriptures which testify of me. And that's in St. John 5 and 39. So he definitely, that is a book of the deity of Jesus Christ. So today we are moving on, and we're talking about add to your faith. So my theme is still to God here. There's only one God. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He is God. None else, none with him, none beside him, none before him. He's eternal. He was before time. That's what we don't understand. People try to get the, if you could get the origin of a thing or a person or a being, then you can figure him out. You can't figure God out because he's eternal. He created time, come into time himself for us to get ourselves ready so he could take us back into eternity. And I know that just flew over a lot of folks' head, but he is the eternal God. Moses says, before the mountains were brought forth, ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. I mean, that was a revelation. That was the 90th Psalm. So you hear it a lot of times at funerals. In the beginning, God is a divine testimony. There was only one witness on the stand back there in the beginning, and that was God himself. So there's none else, none beside him, none with him, none before him, none after him. He is the self-existing one. He is the which was, the which is to come. He is the one that everything he declared the end from the beginning, ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. He is the one that calleth those things. He quickeneth the dead. That means he makes them alive. He's going to wake up the dead. Dead and great and small are going to stand before God. The books were open. Another book is which was open is the book of life. So he is the first begotten of the dead. He is going to wake everybody up. So he's the one that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and we're thankful for that. So today, and should you desire to call in, you can call in if you have a question or if you have a comment. You are welcome. Our call-in, guest call-in number, 646-716-6566. 646-716-6566. 5:6. So this is John wrote, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He goes on, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So he became to become. He came into the world that he made. And this is why Mary just couldn't understand it. And how shall these things be? When she was talking to Elizabeth in the first chapter of St. Luke, seeing I know not a man. In other words, I haven't had relations with a man. I'm a virgin. So it said, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, come upon thee. Therefore, the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So that's the operative word. People don't understand that. You can't contain God. He's everywhere and every place. It's going to take through the ages to come for him to show his exceeding riches toward us, talking about the church. You can't figure him out throughout eternity, trying to come to the end of God and never coming to the end of God. So that's why Paul wrote, said, he that descended is the same that ascended up. He ascended up. He's descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same that ascended up far above all heavens. Like I like to ask the question, how far is far above? I mean, those of you who fly in airplanes, I mean, that 35,000 feet, 35 to 40,000, I'm told, I heard a weatherman say, I think 35,000 feet, that is 8 miles high. That's one of the fears. But there's the stratosphere and all of them different fears, but he is far above all that. Apostle Paul got caught up to the third heaven. And he saw things wasn't lawful for man to utter. So he's talking about himself. He knew a man, whether in the body, I can't tell. We talk about out-of-body experience. He had one, and he couldn't tell what he saw, and he didn't. But he just said that messenger of Satan was buffeting him. He sought the Lord 3 times to take away that. And he said, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly may I suffer those things that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And he went on to say, for when I am weak, then am I strong. So there's nothing like God's word. And he was the apostle to the Gentiles. He writes to the Roman church in the 11th chapter. He said, I magnify my office. He authenticated himself when he was saying, I am what I am by the grace of God. I labor more abundantly than all the rest of the apostles. He said, nevertheless, not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. So he's the last one to see him. He said, last of all, he was seen of me. That was one of the signs of being an apostle, that you had to see the Lord. He saw him. He was personally taught by the Lord. He went out into the Arabian desert. So you got to search the scriptures and find out. People just doing a lot of talk, trying to act like they're so important. And it's amazing. Some people got the biggest audience they ever had since they called themselves a minister, and that is Facebook. That's their audience. I mean, they just, you know, want people to look to them. So today we're moving on. So we're talking about add to your faith. And so Peter says, add to your faith virtue. So our tags, we call them faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. So we're going to try to deal with some of these things as we go ahead here. So we know without faith it is impossible to please him. The Hebrew writer says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I believe it's in Luke 17:5. The apostles said unto the Lord, to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. And so he goes on. This is a very important lesson in Luke here, Luke 17 and 5. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, now, hey, and the Lord is Jesus. Ye had faith as a grain of a mustard seed. Ye might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted in the sea, it should obey you. So he goes on here, which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him, by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? It's a question. Will not rather say unto him, make ready, wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he think that that servant, because he did those things that were commanded him, I trow not. So likewise, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. But getting back to adding to your faith, what he's saying here, if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, we're going to stop right there. A mustard seed is so tiny, you would miss it. It is so tiny. But what he's saying is, when he's saying, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, that much faith and no doubt. That much faith and no doubt. That's faith. What happened to the children of Israel? The word did not profit them. Not being mixed with faith to them that heard it, but the Hebrew writer said. So you got to have faith, and you got to have faith in God. Not just saying, oh, I believe. No, there's a way that faith comes. And so people, and you can't just, like I said, these epistles were written to people who were already saved. And so this is what Paul was saying, that his heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So you know a remnant is going to be saved. 144,000 are going to be beheaded during the tribulation period. So he goes on here, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. That's what happens to a lot of people even today. They're being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, he says. And then so have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So our own righteousness is not going to do it. That's of the law. Even Apostle Paul said, because he was a Pharisee, as touching the law, blameless. So your own righteousness, that's not going to do it. So because you got to understand what happened. When the law could, what the law couldn't do, it was weak through the flesh. God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he says in Romans, the 8th chapter, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the key right there, the righteousness of the law. So he goes on here, he makes a very profound statement. In Romans 10 and 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And he goes on, Moses describing the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of the law, which is of faith, speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Notice that word, again. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So this quote actually came out of Deuteronomy. So he goes on here, that is that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord, over all, is rich under all that call upon him. Here it is right here. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here it is right here is what you got to pay very close attention to. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? See, people don't, they leave that part out. So this quote here, he's going back into the 52nd chapter of Isaiah, said, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they not, have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, see, that quote came out of Isaiah. Lord, who believed our report? So that's the question, excuse me. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So he goes on to say, have they not heard? He actually is talking about Israel. Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, their words unto the end of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, by a foolish nation will I anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. So Paul goes on to write here. This is his masterpiece, Romans. I say, then, have God cast away his people? God forbid. For I am also an Israelite, the seed of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Would not what the scripture said, Elias or Elijah, how he maketh an intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets. Dig down thine altars, and I am left alone. They seek my life. What saith the answer of God unto him? That is, unto Elijah. This is in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, 17th and 18th. You read about all this. I reserve myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. And so this is what he's saying right here. They were blinded, talking about Israel. As a nation, they were blinded. But I said all that to say about faith. You just can't say, I believe. You got to have word to base your belief on. Abraham believed God. What did he believe? The Lord had said, get out of your country, out of your father's house, unto a land I will show thee. So that's why the writer wrote, Paul wrote in the fourth chapter of Romans, he says, talking about Abraham, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And knowing he was able to, because he went and offered up Isaac. That was faith. He told him to go offer him up. He was a son of promise. So if he would have slayed him, God would have had to raise him even from the dead. So Abraham was the father of faith, or we call him Faithful Abraham. So we this is so very important, this second book of the Apostle Peter, as he writes here, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So there's no comma in between there. The self same one. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of of Jesus our Lord, according to as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So he goes on here, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and the patience, godliness, and the godliness, brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, charity. So virtue, what is virtue? It's a behavior showing high moral virtue is. What is temperance? It's moderation or self-restraint in eating or drinking, or it gives reference to abstinence from alcohol. So you got to work on yourself. And then the one that people don't like that is really important is patience. So what is patience? Patience is able to accept or tolerate delays, problems, or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. So God gives you the ability. So tribulation worketh patience. So we glory in tribulations. Tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And this is also in Romans, Paul's masterpiece. And he goes on to say, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. And then see, another time he made a statement, in your patience possess ye your souls. So you got to, sometimes you know you can't do nothing about something. You just have to be still. This is what the prophet Habakkuk had when the Chaldeans took over, all of those things that had on that he was faced with and happened. The prophet had perfect peace. What did he say? One of his utterances, he says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. He says, let all the earth keep silence before him. And somebody said, no debate. So sometimes you just got to be still. Just like he said, I believe in the 46th Psalms, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted above the heathen. You know, he is God. And we got to just be still and let him show himself to us. So he goes on here, in godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. So he goes on, for if these things be in you and abound and make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. A knowledge of who? He's talking about the self same one, because he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He's the self same one. So he goes on here, but he that lacketh these things, Peter says, is blind. What is he talking about? Spiritually. You don't see with your eyes, you don't hear with your ears. You see with your eyes, you see with your brain, because your brain is what sends the signal. Your eyes are the camera, your brain is what you see with. You have understanding with your heart, you hear with your ears. It all works together. So God made us, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So he says, you lack these things, you're blind. You cannot see afar off, but hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So he goes on, wherefore the rather, brethren, he's talking to church people, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. See, this is what I was saying in Peter is encouraging the believer to add faith and knowledge and other things so you won't fall. So what do you got to do? What the Lord himself said, watch and pray. Not as well as. I mean, people have a play on words. No, he said watch and pray. It's just as important. It goes right along with it. It's hand in hand. Watch and pray. Not just, oh, watch as well as pray. No, that ain't what it says. It says watch and pray. So what is your prayer? One of your prayers is He said, pray that you enter not into temptation. So, food for thought. If you're watching and praying, then you will be on top of things. You will realize what's going on, what the enemy is trying to do. See, John said about those that try to seduce you. So you got to be careful. So if you know what's going on, you're going to hear God too. You're going to know what not to do. You can't make up your mind what you're not going to do when before the test. Your mind got to be made up before the test, not during the test. You got to have your mind made up. Just like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had their minds made up that they were not going to bow to the music. Daniel and they weren't going to eat the king's meat, but they were going to serve the true God, and that is exactly what they did. So they were saying, you hear the sound of the music and the sackbut and all these things, fall down and worship the image. They made up their minds. We're not falling down worshiping no image. So you don't do that, we're going to cast you into a burning fiery furnace. So they heated the furnace 7 times hotter, and I think 2 of the men that heated the furnace hotter got consumed themselves. But God was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they didn't have the smell of fire in their clothes. They weren't singed. They weren't burned. They said, didn't we throw 3 in? But we see 4. And the 4th is like unto the Son of God. So in other words, that's God. God is everywhere and every place. So we don't understand biblical terminology. And the angel of the Lord. Many times in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord was the Lord himself. So there's other times, yes, we're compassed with an innumerable company of angels. But sometimes the angel of the Lord is the Lord himself. So you got to understand biblical terminology. So Peter says, wherefore the brethren, give diligence. So in other words, you're making every attempt to make your calling and your election sure. So in other words, that people wouldn't be falling in sin, being married, have a girl. I'm talking about church people. They wouldn't be a bishop, be a pastor, be an evangelist, be it whatever title you want to call it, and you got a wife or the evangelist or the prophetess, whatever you want to, you call yourself, minister, you have a husband and you wouldn't have a boyfriend too, or you wouldn't have a wife and a girlfriend too, or you wouldn't have a wife and a man too, or you wouldn't have a husband and a girlfriend too, because people are doing all kinds of stuff. But if people would watch, if they would watch themselves, so like Jesus said, take the mote out of your own eye, you'd be able to see clear, take the beam out of your own eye so you could see clear to take the mote out of your brother. So beam goes across, you can't take no mote out. If you're blind, you can't see. This is what he's saying here. So he says, so an interest shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and Savior Jesus Christ. So he went on to let him know, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you knew them, be established in the present truth. So see, that's another thing that is so important. You want to add to your faith? So we know faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Believe what? The gospel of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the ascension. Sending back to heaven, sending back the Holy Ghost, making us appearing to take the church out of here, and coming back to earth. That's the second coming, when he come back with 10,000s of his saints, set up his kingdom, to reign 1,000 years, going to fight, going to reign the Lord with him, going to put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So the present truth is you must be born again. So we don't really take heed like we should. And when things happened during 320 AD, when Constantine had that so-called vision, that's what split everything up. And Jesus made the statement himself in the Gospels, while men slept, the enemy came in. What? When the apostles went to sleep, when they were all gone. Constantine had that so-called vision. That's when you have so-called Catholicism and Protestant and all of this stuff. Wasn't Apostle Paul was only persecuting the people of God, the apostolics, because wasn't nobody else there. See, what Jesus said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, they're going to come, they're going to be one fold and one shepherd. What he was talking about is the Gentiles, because he came initially for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Gospel of the kingdom was for the Jews, was for the Israelites initially. So that's why he said he came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, gave he power to become the sons of God. Not of them that are born of the flesh, nor of man, but of the will of God. So he was a light unto the Gentiles. Isaiah had already prophesied that he was going to be a light unto the Gentiles. So we're in. So the olive tree, Israel, is going to be grafted back in. So we can't boast, we can't brag, not be high-minded. But thank God we're here, because Israel as a nation did not believe him. Their time has come. Israel is God's people forever. They're going to be God's people forever, just like he said that they would. No one's going to take that. The gifts and callings, and that's what that means. Romans 11 and 29, he's talking about Israel, the subject. In the prior verses, he goes on and say, he makes a quote, for the gifts, plural, and callings of God are without repentance. What is he saying? Israel, he gave the oracles of God. He gave them his word. He chose them, and he's not going to repent. He's not going to change his mind. So he says, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So God's not going to change his mind. Israel is God's people forever. So the present truth is you got to be born again. So He let him know. Nicodemus wondered, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not, or don't wonder what I say. You must be born again. He goes on to say, the wind bloweth where it listeneth. You can hear the sound thereof. You can't tell which way it's coming, which way it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothing, or divided tongues, like as a fire, to set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they say, try to act like you men of Israel, Galilee, you know, try to act like these people were full of new wine. Peter let them know, these are not drunk, as ye suppose. It was 9 o'clock in the morning, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But he went on to let them know. He made a quote out of Joel 2 and 28. This is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Young men shall see visions. Upon your servants and your handmaids will I pour out of my spirit in those days. And he goes on to say, and they shall prophesy. That word prophesy means preach. Sons and your daughters. So some people are against women preachers. They're out of their mind. They don't know what the scriptures say. They don't have an understanding of what God's word is saying. There's neither male nor female. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free, nor male nor female in Christ. So in the church, we're all. I'm talking about in the local church. God set the solitary in families, brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. You got to be in a family. You got to be under authority to be in authority. And I don't care if you're a minister. I belong to a local apostolic church. I'm under authority in authority. You can't be in authority if you're not under authority. So I'm under the authority, even by the authority. I'm an ordained elder, which I have ordination credentials. Credentials, that means you're ordained by an organization. I'm not a rebellious man out there by myself. He says that he set the solitary in families. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. Dry land is the desert. In the desert, you will die because there's no living water in the desert. There's no such thing as an independent church. Some people, Peter said, all of you be subject one to another. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. So you be subject one to another. You can't, if you're independent, you ain't subject to nobody. That's crazy. The apostles were subject to each other. So it is in the church today. So you're not out there just by yourself running all over the place. It's all right to visit and all, but somebody got to give an account for your souls. This is why the Hebrew writer writes, obey them that have the rule over you. They watch for your soul that they may give account. So that, you know, not with grief. That's unprofitable for you. So he says, have the rule over you. The rule is the word of God. So you got to be subject to one another. A sheep can't make it on their own. A sheep can't feed themselves. But a sheep has to have a shepherd. And the pastor in the local church is the under-shepherd. So you got to have somebody watching for your soul. You're not out there just by yourself. So he goes on here. Peter is writing, he says, talking about present truth. So it's not going to, Acts 2 and 38, not going to apply after the rapture of the church. It's going to be too late. Church going to be gone. So that's why the songwriter says, are you in the church triumphant? Are you in the Savior's bride? Have you been baptized into the body and forever thereby? Right now, you got to repent. Acts 2:38, and be baptized, every one of you. This is what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He goes on to let them know, for the promises unto you Jews, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That includes the Gentiles and everybody, even those that are yet to come before he takes the church out of the earth. So you still have time. So you got to be right now to be established. That's the present truth right now. You must be born again. So that's why I asked the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? A lot of people want to take up the apostolic mantle and say they have apostolic authority. They have not received the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues. They have not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They want to call themselves apostolics. No, the devil is a liar. You got to be born again. So he goes on here. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am I am in this tabernacle. He's talking about this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. This is what Peter is saying. So we thank God for his word, and I believe I do have a call. So go ahead, caller.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
How you doing? I just got to talk about how a bunch of people, I go to church every weekend, and a bunch of people be going up in there, and they saying that rap music is the downfall of the human society, that it leads to more domestic violence. But I feel they could do a lot of good with their music in the name of God and the name of being helpful and hopeful at home. You know what I mean?
It's just the thing behind hip hop, how it all started and you know, what it represents. It's because, I mean, there's such things, even so-called gospel music, there's no such thing as gospel music, to put it plain. Actually, the book of Psalms are songs. That is the hymn book of the Bible. And I mean, some of these so-called gospel music songs that people are singing is not giving God glory at all. And the only thing they're trying to do is make money. So
because it brings
the point
back
being,
to when I was
the commission is, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So, I mean, look at with the operative word, what you're saying is rap music.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so you just got to be careful. I mean, all this jumping around. See, and the whole key is what we really have to realize that even way back in the book of Zechariah, the quote was, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So God's able to save. It doesn't matter. He ain't got to have that. I mean,
yeah.
The point being, your heart, it's what's in the heart. It's the influence of the heart, what's important. So, I mean, some people do have the right motive, so, and God sees that. So, your point is well made.
Because that brings me back to when I was at least 20 or 30 back in the 90s. I was sitting there with my wife listening to some Mixmaster Flex. You remember that? You remember all those good old days? And I was just listening to this, and I beat the shit out of my wife. I hit her over the fucking head, nigga.
All right, so we thank God for his word as we move on here. So we're not going to be our time is short, so we're moving on here. So Peter lets us know that I will, so he's going to put you in remembrance of these things, that you, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. So see, this is what the scriptures are all about. So Romans 14 and 5 says, whatsoever things are written afore were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So sometimes people, you know, have their reasons. I mean, hypocritical people or whatever. And the devil is religious. He can sing. He can preach. He can so-called pray, but he can't live holy. So hope of a hypocrite is going to perish. And God hates religion. Religion is just a bunch of rules and people going through things. God does not care for religion, but you got to have the salvation of God. So we have another call. Go ahead, caller.
Hello?
Go ahead, caller.
Hello. I am Karash. I am from Syria right now, in Syria. And I was wondering, my fellow brethren are fighting in the Syrian war, and I was wondering how I could spread the word of God to them and my comrades fighting against the tyranny we are experiencing here.
Where are you from now? Where are you calling from?
Syria, my friend.
From where?
Syria.
Oh, you're calling from Syria?
I am calling from Syria.
Oh, from Syria, the country Syria.
The country, yes.
Oh, okay, that's amazing. Yeah, okay, yeah.
And I was asking my friends, my comrades in combat today.
Uh-huh.
They need some sort of support. They need some sort of support for their efforts against the tyranny. And as a Muslim, I must say that I very much agree with some of the morals portrayed by the Christian God. And I was wondering, how do you think I can sort of convert them and make them more straight towards the morals portrayed by the Christian God?
Oh, okay. Just like I was saying, I don't know how long you've been listening, but I've got to hurry up and get this in before the time is gone. But
so
now, because I was saying the Jews as a nation, even it doesn't matter. In every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. So you have to believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you do that, you will repent. That means you'll turn. You'll make a 180-degree turn. The same thing John the Baptist and Jesus said when they came on the scene, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So when you turn, that means turn your heart to God, repent, be sorry for your sins, and be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and God promised to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you're speaking another tongue or another language, as the Spirit gives you to utter. That's that to utter. That is the born again experience. So you could be born again as an individual. You got to have an apostolic preacher baptize you in the name of Jesus.
What if I want to be born again, say as a woman, as a, like a small child woman, like a girl, perhaps, like my friend, he say he is a transgender, that he is turned towards a coming woman.
What I can say is God came to save souls, so you can if you change yourself. You got to remain like that. Your soul can be, James says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So your soul is what's important. So you can't, if you change your gender or your
soul. In his
pardon?
Soul, he is a girl. In his soul, he is.
Somebody changed himself to a girl, right?
Not yet. He is going to have a sexual change.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah. I mean, if he doesn't repent, but say if he did go through with it, and he repents and get baptized in the name of Jesus, get filled with the Holy Ghost. And then if he want to get married or whatever, he can't do that. He got to let the person know what he did. So he's going to have to remain like that the rest of his life. But his soul can be saved. That's the most important thing. And I thank you for the call because my time is almost over, and I got to move on. So thank you. Call back on next time. So we thank God that caller was from Syria, he said. So Peter is, and our time is almost gone here on the day. I mean, the other call that I got kind of ended not good, but because you got to have respect for God's word, not be belligerent or whatever, but a tree is known by its fruit. So Peter goes on here. That after his decease, you know, these things always be in your remembrance. What he's saying here is, we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father. Remember now, God is a spirit. He could appear in any form he wanted. And glory and honor when he came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice came from heaven. We heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, wherein you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, of man, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So I think next time we'll continue because we want to go move on a little farther here with this because he goes on to, because we kind of got into that a little bit about false prophets. So we will talk to you on next time. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And remember, my question that I always ask, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?